Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I'm going to be speaking today, I think prophetically. I don't know how to talk about this, and it may take today's program and tomorrow's program, but you know, if the Lord's speaking, we need to hear what he's saying. We need to hear from him. And maybe you've done this too. You know, you can be around so many unbelievers or people who basically think retaining the knowledge of God is optional, like he talks about in the book of Romans, and that it doesn't really matter if you don't thank him or acknowledge that he did these things in your life. It doesn't matter that the reason why we really won't give to God is because we won't give up our things, you know, even though he specifically says they worship things instead of the creator of things. And this is not true, but you can start thinking after a while, I guess, you know, you read Malachi chapter 3, you know, he starts talking about towards the end of it, people start saying that. They start saying, what does it matter, that I did pay attention, that I did respond and I did do this. And he said, it won't be good for those who did that, but the ones who did, he says, a book of remembrance is written about them in the presence of the Lord. And think about this. I mean, you know, getting past the approval of men. I mean, think about it. Really, I mean, we're all sinners saved by grace. We all need Jesus. We all are clay vessels, but watch out. You know, some of us have God's all surpassing power in us, so you don't mess with what God's doing, right? Mm-hmm. But understand, but you're looking at the clay part of folks, and you can get, if you're trying to get the approval, we're just human beings. We're just human beings. All of us are. And sometimes you can get men's approval, and accepting that man or woman's approval, you just left God's approval. Because you chose them over God. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. You chose them over God. And what's really cool is when you find people who just want God. And when you have their approval, it's only because they see God's approval in your life. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, it's like we're all going the same direction. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. It's a treasure to be around people who love God and want to follow God. It's a gift. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of folks, you know, going in that direction soon. And so, I was debating about how to talk about this because, you know, I had this debate. We're talking to Michael Bodea from, he's a grandson of a prophet that's gone to be with the Lord, Demetrius Dudeman, right? Mm-hmm. Demetrius Dudeman. And he prophesied about America and the fire starting. And you know, we talked just recently about fireballs coming out of the sky, what God said. We're like, well, that means something spiritually. He's like, then the next couple of days later, fireballs fall out of the sky, and we think, it could be a tangible thing coming out of the sky, just these different things that are going on. Like, you know, how do you walk through this? And when you know God opened the doors and told us He wanted us to be on, you know, television, it was as a trumpet, and we've never used that word. Mm-hmm. We've never used that word, and we never used the word. Prophet. Try to stay away from any titles, actually, because most folks are religious. A lot of people are religious, and they just want you to do whatever that gift does for them. They're not really wanting you to be a prophet, because the prophet would say, you're in sin and repent. I mean, they wouldn't want that, but he's like, give me a word. Do you have a word for me? Yeah, I got a word. And you just don't know. I mean, you are what you are. Paul says, you know, I'm all things to all people for one particular reason, that some of them may know Jesus. So it's not, I personally believe that, you know, God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. If he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, as he says in Acts chapter 6, there is no big eyes. There is no big titles. It's just like, what's God saying? Let's hear it and let's just do it. And amen, by the way, doesn't mean the pot roast is ready and it's time to go. It means that everybody's hearing from the Lord and you're in agreement. It says, so be it. You know, amen. This bears witness with what God is saying. And then so be it. Let God's word be. And I know for years, like, that means it's time to eat, you know, and it's time to leave. And so, you know, the question that I had with Michael Bodea was, you know, are we, you know, Michael has a lot of answers. I mean, he's like, bam, 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 bam. He's a real godly man. Mm-hmm. He calls himself grass blowing in the wind. And he's taking care of orphans, you know, over in
Romania.
And, but he's just bold for God. And, so I said, you know, are we really, you know, thinking about the stage that we're in our present process with God, you know, are we kind of like in the Jeremiah season? Are we in the Josiah season? Are we in the Daniel season? And he stopped. I mean, this guy was like, bah, 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 bah. We have his interview on VFN, on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com if you want to hear it. But he just stops. And he paused. And he thought. And he goes, that's a real good question. So we're leaning forward. You know, we're going to hear what he has to say about it. And I believe he was saying Jeremiah. And the difference between Jeremiah and Daniel is, you know, in regards to the transitioning of a society, of a people, of God's folks, is, you know, Jeremiah saying it's coming. Daniel's in it. So Jeremiah is saying, you know, it's going to be here. He's saying this is going to happen. As a matter of fact, I even know, I'm telling you something right now, like Ezekiel says in 33, you're not even going to listen to me, but once you're in it, you'll know that I was a prophet. It's like, you don't know they're a prophet if you're in rebellion until you're actually in your captivity. Mm-hmm. But he ends Ezekiel 33. He says, yeah, you're listening. You're saying that was great, but you're not planning on paying attention to anything. You're not going to do it. But then he says, but when it comes to pass, you'll know you've been amongst the prophet. And that's how you know when it comes to pass, you know, what's going on. And so we've been praying for Josiah. You know, we have a whole teaching on Josiah. Josiah was someone, King Josiah. And it's amazing. Even people even name their kids Josiah, but yet they're acting like Jehoiakim. It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? This is Jeremiah. And it's like, but you're like Jezebel. I mean, how can you, you know, it's amazing how religious folks like to use religious names while they're walking irreligious of God. You know, you just hope, like, you tell them, like, but this contradicts all your fruit. I mean, why aren't that Josiah? That's a huge name. Josiah means this is a king that God was so pleased with that he said he's never seen one since or never had one before that was just pleased him. And you know what he did? He read the word of God and did what he said. And when he read the word of God, he realized the condition that they were in. In other words, he read the prophetic word of God. Instead of having to enter into captivity, he listened to, quote, the Jeremiah, and said, you know, this is what we're going to do. And what happened was they didn't go into captivity. They didn't have to wait to enter into the consequences of rebellion because they repented before they entered the consequences. I mean, God is a God of love. And so God was planning on just you know, taking Josiah and all of his people, mind you, into captivity because they were in rebellion. There was bloodshed. Almost like abortion is in America today. Maybe abortion is probably greater than any other bloodshed that's been happening in the world, us in America. And God was just going to deal with the main reason why God was going to do this, because all the innocent bloodshed that had taken place. And then, but Josiah heard. He heard, you know, Jeremiah was a prophet of his day. I think he came in around 13 years into his reign as king. But either way, he received the word of God that he read as true. And when you do that, you realize it's not a hidden thing. You realize what I'm doing is wrong. What I'm doing is sin. It's not right. And God says, this will happen to those who do this. But if you repent, I'll forgive you and I'll remember your sins no more. And you know what Josiah did? He ripped his clothes because of what he had heard and what he read. And he said, God's angry with us. Now, was God angry with him and Israel when they found out? Or did he just find out that God is angry with them? It's the second. You know, God can be fiercely angry with us because he loves us. You can be angry with people you love. So angry that you think about when the meat was in Israel's teeth, God's anger burned against them. So some people think, we're so blessed. God couldn't be angry with me. But when he read the word, when he read the prophetic word of God and he believed the word, he repented and turned away from it, which God says, what I intended to come upon you and Israel at that time, I'm not going to do it. It'll come after your generation. Continuing talking about this time with the Lord this morning and just hearing, you know, I just went last night to my neighbors, and I encourage you to do this too, and just, you know, build relationship, do what you can to let them know that you're there. The difference between a suspect and a neighbor is you know what they look like. Because if you've never met your neighbor, and so many people today are profiled, they're profiled. They look at people and they just judge them. This person's evil. This person's good. This person's a criminal. And what it is, you don't even know them. But the fact that you don't know them, you call them a suspect. You call them, this is the one that's doing the crime. Something going on. The thing is, you didn't even meet your neighbors because they're not criminals. They're just like you. But if you, every day you walk into your house, every day you walk into your house under the eyes of God, and you choose to meet no one, then you think what it's going to be like in the days about to come to America. And you're going to have to be very, very careful, because everybody's not a criminal. Everybody ain't wrong. And, you know, the color of my skin, my ethnicity, you know, or my age, or even if I have a tattoo or something, I mean, that doesn't mean I'm evil. I mean, you got to know me. So I encourage you, take time to know human beings, that your neighbors, that God loves. God loves your neighbor, and he put you in the neighborhood for a reason, and not for self-survival, just to realize you could begin to minister to them and understand times are coming. And this, the question that that we're talking about right before the break, you know, are, you know, with Michael Bodea, was, are we Jeremiah? Are we Josiah? Or are we Daniel? And it's like, you know, if we're not even going to our neighbors, if all we think about is ourselves and our own food on our own plate, and we're not even honoring God with tithes and offerings, that we're not even acknowledging that he exists, we're allowing, you know, Islamic mosques to be built all the way around that says, Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, for every day, five prayers, you know, going out like that. And it doesn't even faze you that that's actually happening in your community. We are not Josiah. We're not Josiah. We're just not, we don't have the character, and we can be, we can repent. I mean, if you haven't yet read Ezekiel 33, you need to read it. You know, God does speak in this today. I guess you could call this program today. This is the trumpet. This is a trumpet that's blowing, in that we have an obligation. That's what he called the program when he opened the doors for us to be on. And we just stepped up, and next thing you know, we're speaking to the nations. And but if you're hearing this today and somebody's sharing this with you, this is a trumpet blowing over you. This is a warning. Read all of Ezekiel 33. The reason why God warns us, he warns us so that we can go, oh, like Josiah, I am wrong. I have sinned. God is angry. Rip my clothes. Not going to go that way no more. And we repent, and God forgives, and he's pleased. And you can go from the enemy of God to the greatest king there ever was. That's what Josiah did. And understanding when the trumpet blows over you, what you need to do. Now, the religion will tell you this. The trumpet's blowing because God hates you. God wants to destroy you. You know, that he's done with you. He's done with America. That's not what God's saying. This is what he says in Ezekiel 33. He takes the pleasure in the death of no one. No one. So that's not true. He wants every man everywhere to repent and to become into relationship with him. So it's not true, that religious viewpoint of it. He blows the trumpet over us. And what that means is you hear people telling you how things are, what God says, what you need to do. That's a trumpet. And what's coming our way. And then you go, oh my goodness, there's a storm coming my way. Oh my goodness, we're running from ISIS. Oh my goodness, we got a leadership that's turned against Israel. That's what God does when God disciplines a nation. He has that nation turn against Israel, because if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Look what's happening. That's what's happening right this very moment. Mm-hmm. But what can we do? We could be Josiah and go, I get it. And we could rip our clothes. Or we could be Jeremiah. What is Jeremiah? Jeremiah is like the doorman to Babylon. Jeremiah saw all this. He sees Josiah. He sees Jehoiakim. And he sees Zedekiah. That's when his ministry was as a prophet. He saw Josiah and what he did. But then he saw his son, Jehoiakim, which means God set man in place to bring Israel, God's people, into captivity to discipline them for the sins, because they went right back to their sins the second Josiah had passed. And then he saw Zedekiah, which means God is just. He saw them go right into Babylonian captivity. So he's warning them the whole time. He's going like, this is what God says, and this is what's happening, and you need to turn. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. And you know what they did? They ignored him. They called him, you know, stupid. He's missing it. He don't know what he's talking about. He's just, you know, the crying prophet. Wah, wah, wah. You know, that's what they did. They really did. They locked him up. They beat him. They imprisoned him. They treated him terrible. But you know what? Everything he said came to pass. But it wasn't until they entered into the punishment of their consequences of their sin did they realize that Jeremiah was a prophet. Prior to them being punished and going through hardship, they still didn't think he was a prophet. He became a prophet in their hearts, after they entered into Babylonian captivity. You know, they're having dinner one day, you know, eating something sacrificed to foreign idols, you know, you know, throat slashed as it's facing Mecca, and they're eating dinner, and they're eating this stuff, and it dawns on them, yeah, everything Jeremiah said was true. Ezekiel 33, this is what he says. He says, when all this comes to pass, then you'll know I, Ezekiel, was a prophet of the Lord. That's what he says. Isn't that a shame? And that's a shame.
That it has to.
Because the purpose of a prophet was to God to let you know God loves you and to have a Josiah response. I mean, he tells us, and how he responds to Josiah, how he'll respond to us. Josiah was evil. He was doing everything everybody else was doing. He was in leadership, so therefore he was responsible for everything that was going on. He was king. But when he found out what was right, he did right. When he knew better, he did better, and God rewarded him and said he's the one of the most greatest kings that ever had lived to that point and that ever will live on earth. And so you think about that. That's powerful. What's that mean? God will respond to you the same way he responded to Josiah. Forget about religious people, because they'll constantly, I mean, people that are held captive by that, they're going to criticize you. They're going to judge you because they're trying to justify their own place, their own ministry, their own stuff, their own things, whatever. But you and God, I mean, Josiah alone made that decision once he knew what was right and he did what was right. And God said, awesome. And he put on pause all this disaster. And his son could have done what was right, but he chose to do what our leader did. The very first speech given by our president, President Barack Obama, was given in Egypt at Cairo University. And guess what Josiah's son did? Josiah's son made a covenant with Egypt. First thing he did. And what are we doing? We made a covenant with the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, for whatever reason, you have to understand, and you can't say, yeah, that's right, that Mino man. No, it's us. God puts leaders over us when we sin that causes things to happen to bring consequences to our life. He called Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of Babylon, his servant. He called him his servant. So we can't blame leadership for our own sin. I watched the news today, Christian news, and I'm listening. I'm saying, you're having a secular conversation about a spiritual problem. You're fueling the issue. The issue is we've sinned, and you're blaming on a political party. You're thinking that we're going to be saved because we're going to have this great, you know, majority party coming up in some election somewhere. And it's like, if we've sinned, and God's the one, and think about it, Jehoiakim's name means God set man, and he got his name not from Josiah, because that name was done away with. He was given his name by Egypt itself. That's who named him. God set man. People said, there's no way that this evil Egyptian nation at that time could actually name our president. And it's like, yes, they can. That's what God's turning a thing over to itself. Not to do away with it, remember, so that we would go, oh, I've sinned. Rip my clothes. Cry out. Repent. Not do that anymore. Awesome king, right? That kind of thing. And so at any time, we can actually, if this is the Jeremiah phase, because we haven't, yeah, we're just like, just, you know, you're seeing the sword risen. I mean, people are really saying today, they're going, of all the things that could be said, if you go back and listen to the prophetic words you heard from VFN TV, they're saying they're fearful of one thing. You know what they're fearful of? The sword. Isn't it crazy? It's like the, I mean, you don't even have to theorize, like, well, this bazooka at your head, that's a sword, you know? You don't, they're actually, a physical sword is being brought against mankind. I was listening to Benny Hinn on God TV, and Benny Hinn's talking about, you know, everything's falling apart, everything's going about, and I was like, dear Lord, you know, Benny, you know, what are you doing? And the thing is like, it's not, the issue is we need to preach Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time for us to be disciples and make disciples. It's time for us to realize if we're truly a follower of Jesus Christ, we're actually following him. That's what Christian means. It means Christ follower. So we're just kind of, you know, are we Jeremiah? Are we Josiah? Are we Daniel? And what is Daniel? Daniel is someone that's when they basically just say, you know, go on, you know, go ahead and just, you know, give them your keys to your house, to your car, give them your nation, turn over your bank accounts, enter in. The difference between how much a slave you are, how free you are, is what percentage of your wealth is taxed. If you're taxed at 100%, you're a slave. In other words, it doesn't matter what you do, what you have, it's not yours. You can work all day long, but it's not yours. You have a low tax rate, you have that less of that servitude in your own. Mm-hmm. So if you're 51% taxed, so the taxation is not about you know, your stuff and your things and my stuff. The thing is like, we're becoming a slave of an oppressive government. Is God disciplining us? Because what Jehoiakim did after Josiah, guess what? He cranked the taxes so high that people couldn't even hardly afford to live. What are they going to do? They're paying tribute to darkness, paying tribute to the one, the Set, who put the Set man in place. And what was in the wings? Now, Egypt wasn't in the wings. Babylonian captivity was in the wings. God was fashioning and forming Nebuchadnezzar as his servant, who is going to rule and reign over God's people now. And he's not of God. He was not a God. He was not God's people, but he was going to rule over God's people for like 70 years, like 70 years. But in that time of Daniel, so what does Daniel mean? Daniel means pick up a broom, shut up, and sweep. It's time for you to be silent and pray and just be light, whatever you can, be kind, be fruitful. But you had the opportunity, you had the freedom, and you didn't use it. You had all the wealth that you could have used in the kingdom, but you used it on yourself. So, I mean, it's like, oh, I miss our freedom, miss our freedom. It's like, well, no, you miss the lust, the, you know, the power, the money and the sex and the stuff that you did, PMS, that you did with the wealth, but you didn't give it to God. 97%, according to George Barna, in America, regular church attenders do not even give God a tithe or an offering. Mm-hmm. And the 3% that does, they don't even fully give it to where they're, you know, getting fed from God.
Right.
That's huge. That's huge. Mm. While we're complaining about Jehoiakim, you know, raising taxes, and the hope, how many people's hope is in this next election or that next election? It's like, oh my goodness. If you read the word of God, you'll find out like Josiah did. He was king. There was no elections coming. There was not any hope in any election. He was king. So this is not our hope. Our hope is in our repentance. And so having these secular arguments and saying it's this person's fault and that person's fault, we need to be like Josiah. You need to listen to Josiah, because in America, we're all Josiah. We can either be a godly Josiah, or we can be an ungodly Josiah. We can be an unrepentant Josiah, because this is a nation of the people and by the people and for the people. And we're the one that determines who the 530 folks are that go to Washington, D.C. There's 325 million of us. And we go to the polls and we supposedly pray and ask God about who we're going to, you know, vote for. We supposedly, you know, lay down our lives and volunteer to be a public leader for a season, not for a lifetime, to be able to help, you know, lead in a godly way. And are we even doing that? It's like, we're like a powerless Josiah, or one who chose to be powerless in the context of that. And so I think about three things. I think about my gift, my ministry, and me. I think about one person that was serving God, and all of a sudden he hears from, I heard a word. He's like, what word did you hear? Well, I'm going to go to Tennessee. God's calling me to Tennessee. Now he has a gift. He has a gift. He could sing. And when he sang, I mean, it was powerful to sing. You know, I mean, Stairway to Heaven will move you, but that ain't God. I mean, this, you know, music can move folks. That's why. But he had a gift and he could sing. And when he was singing, it was just so, it's an amazing gift. And he had a hint of prophecy where he could, you know, hear, you know, from the Lord and kind of see some things. So he really thought, you know, his gifts made him right. He thought his gifts made him right. And even if he was accurate in some of the things, and he wasn't in several of those things, and his gift was definitely a powerful gift, he wasn't called to Tennessee, but he went to Tennessee with his wife and his kids. So he comes back years later, and he comes back just like God told me at the midnight hour. Listen to me. This is the midnight hour for America. He comes back at the midnight hour. And God already told me he's going to come back at the midnight hour. And when he came back hooked on crack cocaine. He divorced his wife. He ended up marrying the girl that he was working with in the call center and left her in Tennessee. And he showed up on a big crack binge coming to where I was, just like God said he would, weeping and crying on the verge of suicide. And I prayed with him. And I loved him. And I received him because, you know, this is it. He says, somebody says, forgive him. You know, forgive him. And, you know, gave him some cash to be able, because everything's gone. He was blessed with a place to live in. He brought his new wife down. God began to show himself to him, began to renew him. And we went to baptize him. I knew his story, but the person who was with me didn't know his story. So they didn't know the story. And so, because he had done this before. and he had done this before because he thought he was his gift, but his soul was in the balance. And so when I took him down to baptize him, I held him down because he needed to come out of that water crying out to God for the next breath. I knew that his whole life depended on it. I knew it. But the other minister wasn't privy to that. They didn't know. And so our tendency, of course, is to rescue them. And right now, you're wanting to rescue people in America, but you need to let God hold them underwater till they come crying out for their last breath. And so the other minister pulls them out of the water. Long story short, he hears another word, he gets back on drugs, and he kills somebody and is found dead on the streets of the city. So what did he say? My gift. He thought he was his gift. He thought he was, people loved his gift. Use your gift. Dance, sing, preach, teach, prophesy, share some wisdom. You are not your gift. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, many people are going to come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gift? You're not your gift. And he's not saved, by the way. Doctrines today would say, because he once said a prayer, even though he murdered the store clerk, even though she defended herself and shot him, and he died in the parking lot of the very city God called him to originally that he went from, saying he heard from the Lord, people will still tell you today, and they even told me, they said, this man's saved. It's not that complicated. He's not. He did not make it to heaven. He did not enter heaven. That's not a complicated issue. The last thing he did was murder an innocent lady who come from another city, for a rough city to kind of peaceful city. Mm-hmm. And her and her son opened a store, and he killed this woman. And he found his own blood sheds where he shed blood in the very same parking lot. Maybe that's you. You're so mesmerized by your gift, and every time you use it, people just go, they all over you, and you're dying. And you're going to end up in the same place. The same place. If you don't repent and realize it's who you are in your heart. We know who you are by your fruit. Do you love? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Did you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? And the next person I think about is the one that says, you know, my ministry. They worship ministry. It's amazing. And, you know, and God's speaking to you. This particular person's coming to me, and they find out that they could possibly, you know, over time I find this out, they find a place that they can do their, because of their proximity to what we're doing, then they can actually do their ministry. It wasn't God calling them to a place. It wasn't because they agreed what was going on. But what eventually folded out was they just thought a place for their ministry. Of course, people are kind like that because they're seeing a way that you can personally gain. You can personally grow from stuff like that. You know, they can gain from it, not grow. You're prey. You're not P-R-A-Y. You're P-R-E-Y. So God's speaking to me, and he's telling me everything about these people's lives. He's telling me everything. I mean, everything. I am so shaken and so stirred. And, you know, if you know me, and it was even confirmed prophetically up in just recently, you know, I'm giving you a chance. It's not just you're right. I'm just giving you a huge chance. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just giving you a chance. I want you to make it. I want this thing to work out. And I gave a lot of chances to that my ministry type folks. And I'm speaking truth. I mean, plain as day. I know Pat was in some of those meetings where we're just delivering this is what's going on. And I mean, I just can't talk about all the details, but it was like very serious stuff. And they look me square in my eye and say, yes, that's exactly what's going on. It's like, any fear of the Lord here? Right. I got a fear of the Lord, you know, and no fear at all. And so finally, after a year of trying and Lord rebuking me because I was reaching beyond mercy. I was reaching beyond. I mean, this is what he told me. He said, what you're doing is holy. He said, you're dealing with human beings. And this has to be holy. In other words, we all have issues and we have to constantly do it. If God tells us to get right, we got to get right. It's not that you're perfect. It's just like, if he deals with us, we go, okay. And I believe what he was doing was giving them an opportunity to get right. And they didn't. And the very last words, and I think you were in that meeting. You may have been in that meeting. Mm-hmm. When you're thinking, like, here it goes, with fear and trembling, I do these things. I mean, I feel so horrific if I ever have to do this kind of stuff. But because God's watching, you don't want to mess up. You want to be able to do it. And maybe you need to hear this. But I said, you know, you're going to need to separate yourself. You're going to need to separate yourself. Take 6 months and separate yourself. And at 6 months, we'll talk. But totally, completely separate yourself from this body. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The moment they separated, what was it like? Peaceful.
Peace.
God's blessing. And you just think, oh, you just want people to make it. Just really want them to make it. But the truth is, you know, Jesus said, you know, if you put your hand to the plows and you look back, you're not going to make it. You're not worthy of the kingdom. So some people are just going to choose. And the last words we heard was, please, please don't take away my
ministry.
And it's like, ministry? What are you talking about?
The last thing
this
you
is
about.
God. This is what he's doing. What are you talking about? Your ministry. And so the dilemma is, you know, what do we do? I'm talking about those three things, you know, talking about, you know, my gift, my ministry. And the last thing I want to, you know, a viewpoint, maybe this is dealing with you. Maybe this is encouraging you. By the way, over 50-something% of the church is out of the church, away from gatherings. Just was said at the summit in South Carolina at Morningstar Ministries, the word of the Lord is, that you're not even going to be able to catch up with the church. If you don't get into the body and be willing to go through all the adjustments it's going to take for us to get right and be in that process, he says you won't even be able to catch up with it. Mm. So you got to show up when it's a mess and pray and believe God that we get to a better place. You know, find, and you want to go where God's calling you. You don't want to go where your flesh is comfortable, please. Not like now. You want to go where your heart is comfortable, where you have peace at night. You know, not where everything's, all your needs are met, but where you meet needs. In the name of God. And so, and the church life as we know it today, much of the church life, which is basically you show up, you don't know nobody, you look forward, somebody talks to you who really don't know, really, you talk about them all the time, but you really don't know who they are and you can't remember what they said when you come out. And you don't know the people on the side of you are probably dying, going through whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't care because you got your own problem. That's not going to survive. Mm-mm. That part is not going to survive. But I've seen the doors swing open of that kind of thing, and it's not, and the buildings are great. You know, we got buildings, but it's mm-hmm. not a building, but in that kind of church life, the doors are going to fling open and like a fire hydrant. I saw people just running out of that. Now they're not running away from God. They're running from first what they thought was God. And they're going to begin to look for what is God, because only God, I mean, think about it. They said, may the rocks fall out on us. And they're running, trying to run into the hills. When God begins to move, when he speaks, everybody runs for cover. There is no cover in that kind of expression that doesn't even have God in the center of it, that says people have been here for 6 months and they don't even know it's a church. They were meeting all these social needs and God's not even brought up in the whole thing. I mean, that's not what it is. It's not a social club. It is where we gather together in the fear of the Lord to hear the instruction of the Lord, to love the body of the Lord, which is people. And that's just a side note. So then... The last thing is me. You have my gift, my ministry. And these are real occurrences. These are real occurrences. And the last is a prophetic word from the Lord. And we've seen it. This is about, you know, me, the person who's always on their mind. I mean, always on their mind. That's called idolatry, by the way, just so you know that. Even if you're religious, carry your Bible, preach, teach, prophesy, sing, make millions of dollars. If you're always on your mind, you're into idolatry. But this is what's going to happen. In the midst, while the nation has made a covenant with the devil, while our leaders make a covenant with the devil in the presence of the me generation, the people, the parts of the people who profess to be God's folks, who are just thinking about how this is going to affect me. They vote on leaders based off how it's going to cause their pocketbook to increase or decrease, or how stimulus will come their way or not come their way, or how they'll qualify for a loan, or how they'll get a job. That never crosses their mind that, what does God want me to do? And is this person, you know, a godly leader? It doesn't cross their mind, which means that was a me. That was the me thing. So in the midst of why the nation is being prepared to make a covenant with Satan, with the darkness, with dark ways, very specifically, in Washington, D.C., you know where the church, this person is? They were on their couch complaining about, they're not letting me speak. And you know where the nation ends up? On the floor, dead. And a chalk drawing representing where America once was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was this person? This person was like, it was all about them. It was just all about them. It's like, right in front of your face, there is a covenant being made that's going to destroy this nation and kill it. And all you're thinking about is yourself. I mean, how many people are thinking about, it's like, really? I mean, I think about it today. You know, you have the praying people, and then you have the pray people. You know, the people that pray, P-R-E-Y, then you have the pray people. And sad to say, if you look at the signs of the times and how God turns over a nation, it ends up everybody becomes pray, P-R-E-Y. You know, you're thinking like everything is a sell. Everything is about making money. Everything's about, you're only looking at people how they can satisfy your power, satisfy your money, and satisfy your sexual needs. I mean, it's all you're thinking about. You're just thinking about how you can personally gain from folks. I mean, it never crosses your mind to give. It just never does. I mean, you talk to people and you say, hey, you know, why are you here at this church gathering? Well, I see prospects because I sell insurance. And this is a great way to build relationships. This is the body of Christ. This is not prospects. You know, I'm in multi-level marketing, and this is great if I get this one and that one, and that's it. It's like, what are you doing? You show up at meetings, and you're looking at everybody who's just wanting to potentially buy your product or buy your service, and then you're angry with them, not because they're in the wrong direction, they made a wrong decision. You're truly angry because you did not financially gain from your relationship with that person. You didn't gain money, you didn't gain power, or you didn't gain anything over their body. That's your issue. It's prey. You're looking at people as prey. That's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were looking, it wasn't just one sex, it was all these things going on. And everybody became prey. Even the angels, when they showed up, when the angels who stand in the presence of God showed up, they saw them as prey. They never thought, I mean, the whole Sodom and Gomorrah was about just taking and taking and taking and taking. And they wanted to take these angels and do with them what they wanted to do. And this is, it's just disgusting when you listen to even people who are professing to be Christians. You're trying to make money on that man when his marriage is falling apart. You're trying to build your wing onto your building while you never built into their marriage at all or helped their relationship. You never preached truth for 6 months, but yet you've asked them to give to your ministry for 12 years. You look at them as giving units. This man who's a minister looked at his church as giving units. You're preying on God's people, and God has a lot more to say about false pastors than he does about false prophets. Ones who directly connect and take the resources and the food and doesn't share it with the body. So the Lord's laying on my heart, you know, what do you do? Are we Jeremiah? You know, are we Josiah? I really believe, ask yourself now, because Josiah is the one, he's all wrong. In other words, I did it. I'm wrong. He had no problem going through the therapy of like, convince me I did this. Convince me that it's wrong. Help me know this is sin. I mean, he just dealt with it. It's sin. I'm not going to do it anymore. God, forgive me. He repented. He was weeping. He was broken over it. He remorsed. He ripped his clothes, and he went the right direction. He began to take whatever authority he had, and he exercised it for God. He was king, so he had total rule over the whole place. But wherever you have authority, you begin to do that. You tell me right now, because we're on the edge of walking into something that's going to be so horrific that America has never seen before, and it's because we've sinned. It is not because of Washington, D.C. It's not because of a political party. It's not because of ISIS, and it's not because of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's because the church, it's because we who call ourselves God's people, we have sinned. We have left the ways of God. We can read it. We're not even picking up the Bible to read it. 81% of us are not even concerned enough with the knowledge of God. We're not even picking it up to find out what it says. And we're arrogant enough to say that we're right before God. And the 19% that are picking it up, 3% of those are the only ones that are really being Josiahs about it. What do? We just be Josiah. That's all we got to do. This is a hopeful message. This is before this thing. It's close before it. It's really, really close before it. And you got to catch our next program because I'm going to talk about how to prepare for it. Because you tell me, look around, look in the mirror. Do you see Josiah? Do you see Jeremiah? Or do you see Daniel? Are you already thinking about, well, I'm just going to get a broom. We're going into captivity, and I'm going to stay in my sin. And I will not acknowledge any prophet of God until after I'm in what they said would happen. And that's a shame that we have to enter into that. We can be like Nineveh, and we can respond to Jonah, and God will stop. He will slam on brakes the storm that was fashioned against this nation. Find out more and more details about the prophetic words of America. You need to know them all. Go to VFNTV.com. Go to the VFN Torch, and you go to prophecies, and there'll be specific prophecies over America. Heed the warning of the Lord. Now is the time to be Josiah. Now is the time. I pray the Lord would touch your heart, that if that is you, about your gift, your ministry, and focusing on yourself, that God would just set you free from that, and you would be a person who abides with the Lord, who hears and obeys. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.